Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us as we roll through this Thursday together at 1-800-795-9565 on the Hilsers General Store Hotline. Kevin in complete panic mode, and we'll have a lot of fun tomorrow. I'm going to have Rob Dibble on the show tomorrow.
Dibs.
Rob will explain what's wrong with Roy Halladay.
That could take the entire show right now, though.
And the fact that the bottom line is that your unwarranted panic at this time is just that, unwarranted.
Well, listen, I'm given 3 months.
It's unwarranted.
Listen to me. Listen closely. I'm given April, May, and June. The end of June, if things haven't improved, it will tell me that this is a baseball team that needs to retool.
As of right now, you're officially in panic mode.
Well, they have a worse record over the last couple of years than the Pirates do.
I understand that. That's very true.
Isn't that something that you should be concerned about if you're a Phillies fan?
I'm usually concerned with my mortgage.
It's probably true. As well, you should be.
I am the wet blanket of your life, aren't I?
Oh, you have no idea.
You don't like when I bring like life common sense to the show?
No, I wouldn't. This is why I love this show, because I don't want life common sense in the show. That's what I don't want to have. All right, this is my escape.
I remember when the Harrisburg Patriot News, of course, wanted to know what Joe Paterno's salary was. And when I went to, I believe it was Camp Hill I was speaking at the time, and the question got brought up about, you know, how anxious am I or how curious am I about his salary? I said, I don't care what his salary is. And everybody looks at me and says, I care what my salary is. I said, his salary doesn't pay my bills. I said, I care less what he gets paid. I care what I get paid.
I was once asked that question at a career day. I said, it's somewhere between minimum wage and Howard Stern.
But like, because remember, everybody's like, they want to know. And I said, hey, yo, dude, I don't care what he gets paid. What he gets paid does not pay my mortgage. What I get paid pays my mortgage. I care what I get paid.
That's a very, very good point.
Now, was it a wet blanket answer to the question? Yes.
Absolutely was. Hey, listen, I found something that I know you're going to love to talk about here today. You're going to love to talk about this. You ready? I saw some of the early designs for the new Falcon Stadium.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
They have, it almost looks like an airline seat. Well, maybe even a movie theater seat. It's called impact seating, where the seats will vibrate at a big hit. Now, I'm wondering if it's the Falcons that make the big hit, will it vibrate? And if somebody else makes a big hit, it won't vibrate? Can you turn it on and off? See, those are the things that I want to know right now. And then the other thing that I thought was interesting, well, actually, there's two more things. They have a 100-yard sports bar with a theoretical TV in the ceiling. Now, listen, I like going to sports bars as much as the next person, but I don't think my neck can handle looking up from a bar stool to see the TV. I mean, I can lift my head a little bit if it's above the bar or behind the bar, but over my head just seems to be a little bit strange and just not well thought out. But if I were going to Atlanta, I would sit in the fantasy football lounge. Because that thing looks like it looks like a sports person's Wall Street. It just looks like at the stock exchange.
Well, you have to have, when it comes to construction of stadiums or renovation of stadiums, and we'll talk about Wrigley Field a little bit in a moment. Hey, a little bit later in the show, we'll talk about Wrigley Field. When you, and I think I've touched on this briefly, but I will talk about this a little bit more right now. When you have a stadium, you have to put as many amenities as possible into that stadium because you have to make sure that the stadium experience that you're paying for is superior to the home experience where you're just paying for a 50-inch screen, flat screen TV.
And you know how I feel with
HD.
Right. You know how I feel about spending three digits on a football ticket. Right. It has to be worth it.
Yeah, but that's how most people feel about it, and justifiably so. Look, everybody works hard for their money. That's why every once in a while I'll see these ridiculous surveys about, you know, they're ahead in Asia. They're ahead. Really, I don't want to hear such ridiculous stuff. Okay? Americans work as hard, if not harder, than anybody in the world. And just because we're smart enough to have outlets of entertainment and have more to life than just our nose to the grindstone, just because we have that, don't misconstrue that with hard work. You have to be smart about it. But when you earn your money, and I mean earn your money, you don't, and you want to spend it on something. You want to feel like it was worth it. Okay? Sunbury Motors is obviously a great sponsor of ours. Well, every time you go in, the reason that Sunbury Motors has such a great reputation is that they have a lot of repeat business. Why do they have repeat business? Because they have a lot of satisfied customers. And you do that through great product, great hard work. Okay? So when you work hard, you want to be able that has a great reputation is reliable, whether you're buying a car at Sunbury Motors or whether you're going to a Philadelphia Phillies game. You're spending your hard-earned money on something. You're hoping for some sort of return. Is the return in the car going to be, you know, high performance, low maintenance, things like that? Dependability, no question about that. Stylishness may be a possibility. You go to a ball game, you want to have a great experience. Ballpark's nice, food's good, team plays well. So when you go to a stadium, you want to be able to go into a place where you feel like you're getting the most for your dollar. Because you can take that dollar and you can spend it anywhere you want. If you'd rather go to a series, you'd like to go to 10 movies this summer instead of going to two ball games, you go to 10 movies. And that's where the in-stadium experience has to be able to compete. The atmosphere of being there, walking out, seeing the stadium, if it's natural grass, seeing the smell and the view of a pristine grass field, the smells of the ballpark or the stadium, parking convenient enough, you have to make sure that you have the kind of experience in the stadium that just makes a big difference compared to staying at home. So, you know what? I don't want to go there. I don't want to fight the traffic. I don't want to fight the parking. I don't want to fight the crowds, blah, blah, blah. Seats are lousy. I want to get behind a pole, blah. You know what I mean? One by one, you can come up with reasons not to go. They have to make sure that you have all the reasons to go. Why do I want to go to Beaver Stadium? Well, okay, first of all, the parking's not that bad because, you know, if I go online the week of the game, instead of paying $40, I can pay $10. I will park. Actually, the stadium parking here is so much better than other stadiums across the country, it's ridiculous. I mean, many, many other stadiums have so many other issues in terms of parking with proximity to the stadium based on size. You'd be stunned how good Beaver Stadium's proximity is for parking lots. Okay.
And I'll be
now
the first.
You get the tailgating part. So you tailgate here at Beaver Stadium. You enjoy it very much. Okay? Now you go in and you've been given for the past almost 50 years, for the most part, not every year, but for the most part, you've been given a high-quality product. National championships, conference championships, exciting moments. This past season was certainly one of the more exciting seasons that we've seen, especially over the final 10 games, in spite of everything. And they're going to, you know, but they're going to make some changes. They're going to put, you know, eventually they're going to put HD boards in the stadium, because you need to have HD boards in the stadium now. You need to, because you have to make sure that they get the same experience there, plus the atmospherics that you would get at home. I mentioned how the NFL's tinkering with a laser for the first and 10 lines so the fans in the stadium can see that. So you have to feel like you're getting something for your dollar.
I think the only drawback with
this is very important.
Yeah, the only drawback, though, that I see with the fantasy football
and
lounge.
A vibrating seat is what you want, Kevin.
Vibrating seat. Well, the only problem I see with the fantasy football lounge is the fact that you lose connection with the game. I like all the other amenities that they have in there, and this would be okay, but you have to be careful that you don't lose connection with the football game itself, because a fantasy football lounge like that, the way the concept of it and the design, the way it's pictured, would be something that would be really nice outside of the stadium or after the game, not something during the game, because it'll take you away from the football game.
Well, okay. I know we have to take a break.
No, that's all right.
Here's something I want to bring up. You have always touted the fan experience outside the stadium.
Absolutely. I'm a big fan of the tailgate.
All right. Well, the tailgating, I think it's great. Fan experience is nice, so on and so forth. And I hate to bring this up, but I think in today's day and age, you have to bring it up. And I don't go into such things, but I mean, fan experiences, you're going to have to be careful with now. And the reason that you have to be careful with, it's great to have it, but do you have to pass through an area to get into it now? One of the things that made the Boston Marathon such, quote, an attractive target for evil was, even though the dogs swept the finish line twice that day, you can still walk over and just stand wherever you want. Now, you should feel safe going to a stadium or an arena because you have to pass through a specific, quote, checkpoint or gate to get in, where you're checked and then go in. But outside of a stadium or a ballpark or a field, whatever it happens to be, you aren't.
And, you know, as somebody that supports that and likes that sort of thing, like you mentioned, the NFL fan experience, the things that are outside the game, if you don't make it into the game for one reason or another, I'm okay with it. I really am.
Because, I'm okay with it, too. Well, I'm just saying, do you have to think about doing it?
And, sure you do.
And I hate having to think with this way now, but unfortunately, the face of evil makes
right.
you think differently.
It's still in the back of your head. I mean, you know, it's like the old adage with flying being safer than driving. It's still in the back of your head, but you still realize it. You know, you still understand that, you know, there's a possibility that could happen.
Yeah, I just, but I hate to think that way. I mean, you know, obviously somebody can walk down Fifth Avenue and do that. Okay. These guys evidently were considering going to Times Square. You know, I talked that week about what it's like outside a Red Sox game. Yeah, the entryway is on Yawkey Way, but there's, you know, it's like at the two-thirds mark of Yawkey Way. What about the other third? Before you actually get into the secure perimeter. Unfortunately, the face of evil makes you think of these things, you know? I mean, that's, golly, I hate talking about thoughts such as that, but I don't know what to tell you.
By the way, you mentioned parking at other schools being an issue. I can tell you firsthand, Michigan State has no football parking lot. And if they do, no, it's very small.
Yeah, Michigan State, they do, and it's a very small area by their practice field. There's parking all the way around it. Michigan, for example, they use parts of the golf course.
There's nothing there in Michigan, really.
I mean, the high school across the street has a huge lot. The high school across the street?
Yeah, but that's not a 100,000 people plus lot, though. That was what I meant.
And they use parts of the golf course. I mean, Alistair McKenzie rolls over in his grave every time they park in that area.
It's not like going down to Philly and having the parking areas they do around the Link and around Citizens Bank is what I meant.
Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, I'll tell you, MetLife Stadium, they all have great parking. But you go to Iowa, you go to Nebraska. Okay, Nebraska Stadium, there's a lot of buildings around the stadium. You go to Iowa, Nebraska, Minnesota. Even Wisconsin isn't that great. Ohio State is, let's see, I'm trying to think of Ohio State. Ohio State's okay, but no better than okay. Michigan is okay, no better than okay. Illinois is a pretty good situation. Indiana does because nobody goes.
There's plenty of parking there.
Yeah, I mean, but Indiana actually has a very good parking situation. Illinois does. Northwestern does. Northwestern's not that bad. Texas, I thought, was tight.
Yeah, it is. I've been there.
Florida's tight. Alabama's pretty good. USC is not great. Notre Dame is not bad. Notre Dame's pretty good. But most places, all those lots around the stadium, I mean, believe me, you're relatively close. And again, if you're smart and go online for $10, you're in.
I still use the term loosely, though.
Lot loosely in what way? I mean, it's not disorganized. It's line and regulated.
No, but, you know, I don't consider it a lot unless there's pavement.
Well, I understand that.
That's just me. You know, but then again, I'm somebody who's parked in a lot of the grassy lots around there and the grass areas. So, I mean, I'm not hesitant to do it.
Yeah. There is something, though, to tailgating in a grassy area.
It's a lot easier when you get tackled when you catch the football.
And on that note, we'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
I really need a used car.
Sunbury Motors has lots full of used cars.
But it has to be a good used car.
Well, they're not good.
What?
They're great. Sunbury Motors has over 300 used vehicles to choose from. Cars, SUVs, and trucks so good, we wouldn't sell them if we wouldn't drive them. That's probably why we consistently sell over 200 cars a month. And when it comes to new, Sunbury Motors is the largest Ford dealership in the central Susquehanna Valley. Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices.
And I'm a smart shopper, and I know what the price should be for the car I want.
Well, here at Sunbury Motors, you get our lowest price promise. We research prices on used cars so much that if you find a better deal, we'll beat it. That's a promise. So here's your keys.
Thanks.
Take a test drive today at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and our Kia dealerships at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Shop 24/7 and see our inventory at sunburymotors.com. That's sunburymotors.com. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Welcome back. Bottom of the hour. News. Sarah Bartlett. Tomorrow, Dick Girardi from the Kentucky Derby, Rod Dibble on the show to explain to Kevin what's wrong with the Phillies, or maybe not so wrong. You may not like a lot of Rob's responses.
I'll just wait and find out.
I mean, you may not like it.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th rated Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. And, of course, we have the Hilscher's General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Hilscher's General Store, 7 miles south of Seals, Railroads 11 to 15. Go to www.hilscherstore.com. We welcome in Kevin Herr.
I would like to make an editorial comment about the SEC Network logo. Now, I saw them announce the SEC Network today, and I'm thinking the Big Ten Network is owned by Fox. We've all known that for a long time. They run Fox promotional announcements a lot of times. Used to be a lot of Fox soccer. Sometimes it's the Fox NFL games and stuff like that. But there's no Fox logo embedded in the logo for the network. But ESPN did with the SEC Network. It's the SEC ESPN Network. That's the way the logo reads. I just thought that was really, really unusual. Is it the SEC Network or is it ESPN?
Our number 1-800-795-9565.
I know you don't care. I realize that.
I really just care what they put on.
I know that. I understand that.
But not really into aesthetics.
I guess my point is, I guess I'm leaning toward the need to brand ESPN with it. Is that to give it credibility? Is it an ego thing for ESPN? I mean, why? It's the SEC Network. Just call it the SEC Network. Who cares?
Well, but
who's producing
it? It's in partnership with them. So
yeah, but so is Fox. But Fox didn't feel the need to put their logo inside the logo for Big Ten Network.
I know. I'm just saying.
That's just my point. That's the only point I was making.
I'm just surprised that the SEC is the third one to do this, and they weren't second. The Pac-12 beat them to it. The ACC is on the verge of doing the same thing, by the way. That's what this grant of rights also means. The grant of rights means, I think, that they're also on the verge of putting together an ACC network. They're talking about with the SEC network and renegotiated contracts that SEC teams could garner about $30 to $35 million per school. The Big Ten, once their contracts are up in 2017, could be garnering between, per school, $45 to $50 million. It's a money-making proposition. And that's why when you talk about, you know, inventory, it's interesting. I was listening to Tim Brando for a little while this morning, and he was asking fans, what would you like to see in the SEC Network? And, of course, he's certainly deeply ingrained in the SEC because of the work he does at CBS. And, you know, I mean, we can talk all we want about, of course, wrestling is not an issue with the SEC. There is no wrestling in the SEC. That's why I believe Missouri is in the Mid-American Conference for wrestling. When you look at product, the ideal early with the Big Ten was to put every sport on you could conceivably think of. And they put a variety of sports on. I mean, I've seen lacrosse, and I've seen, obviously field hockey, because I did the Big Ten field hockey championship a year and a half ago. You know, and so you get that on there, you know, here and there. Now, they've tried to save some money with it. But if you notice, for example, the women's basketball commitment is a little bit different than the first couple of years, because they know darn well that the bread and butter of this thing is football and men's basketball. They understand it. Now hockey's going to have a prominent spot. I believe the Big Ten Network's going to have 52 hockey games on it. But same thing with the SEC Network. You can go in idealistically saying you're going to do X, Y, and Z, and then, you know, then realism creeps into it. People want to see football and men's basketball for the most part. Not universally, but for the most part. You can still get your men's and women's gymnastics on there and men's and women's soccer on there, but you kind of parse your way through it. So it's interesting how you go with a 24-hour channel and thinking you're going to get a lot more, a wider variety of sports, and you do, but it's not in the heavy doses, I think, that you think it might be in. How about that?
How big is the SEC network going to be nationwide? I mean, I could see Alabama drawing some interest. Let's look at the Northeast, for instance. I could see maybe Alabama drawing interest.
Yeah, but that's not how it operates, okay? How it operates is this way. You're going to charge three times as much money per cable system that carries it in the states that are in the footprint. So in Texas, Florida, Alabama, Mississippi, Kentucky, Tennessee, South Carolina, Georgia, Louisiana, and Missouri, any cable system that picks it up will charge probably 39 cents a head, as opposed to non-footprint areas that will probably charge maybe 10 cents per customer to carry the channel. It's important that when you do something like this, as the Big Ten found out, when Big Ten Network started, the Big Ten Network was not on in most of the Big Ten area the first year. And what changed the Big Ten Network from being a venture in year one in the red, that then in the second year went to a venture that was in the black, was when they reached an agreement with Comcast and Time Warner. And that changed everything for the Big Ten Network. And so it's about which cable systems you get on and then how much you charge in the footprint as opposed to what you charge in the rest of the country. The Big Ten Network, for example, is on in Arizona, but it's like, I don't know, it's like 8 to 10 cents per household. Doesn't do anything to your bill. I mean, you know what the single most expensive property on your cable system is that drives your bill higher than anything else, the ESPN.
ESPN, and that's what I was just about ready to say. The problem I think is that's going to be created here is ESPN is going to use that as leverage over cable systems and satellite providers. It said, okay, you need to carry ESPN, ESPN2, ESPNU, ESPN Classic. You're going to have to, we need you to carry, you're also going to have to carry now the SEC network and the Longhorn network and the Pac-12.
Yeah, but the, you notice the Longhorn network isn't on here.
Well, no, I'm saying in regions where it makes sense. All right, the Longhorn network in New England isn't going to make sense as much as it will in Texas and Arizona and in places like that. My point is they're going to hold it over.
You live in Texas, but you live in Texas. Don't you want it on there?
Well, you do, but you don't want ESPN to be able to package everything up and hold it over cable systems' heads and say, either pay us this rate or we'll pull all of the stuff off your cable system.
How do you think? Okay, but how do you think, for example, you get Bravo and American Movie Classics and things like that? They're packaged.
Yes,
they're all packaged,
but they're not packaged to the point of leverage.
No, because they don't have any leverage.
Well, that's my point. This gives ESPN a ton of leverage, especially in the Southeast.
Okay, but don't you want the SEC channel on your cable system?
Depends. How much is it going to cost me? And how much is it going to cost the cable provider or the service provider?
Look, I want to tell you right now, if you are a Georgia fan, all right, a minimum of three Georgia games are going to appear in the SEC network. You can put a stance together of, well, I'm not paying that. All right. Or the cable system can put that stance together that we're not paying that. And the second you miss three Georgia games, especially two that may be on the road, you're sitting there going, maybe we got to change our minds. See my point?
Oh, I do. I know that's what's going to happen. It's going to be take this, this, and this, or you don't get any of it. And then that forces the cable bills to go up for everybody, whether you want it to or not. Whether you want the channel
cable,
or not.
Look, everybody's cable bills have been going up. Look, I pay a lot more now than I have ever paid for cable because I have internet. I have two HD boxes in the house. I have one in the living room, and I have one in my family room.
Okay.
You know, is it worth the extra money that I put in for that? Yeah, it's worth it. You know, you have to judge as to whether it's worth it or not, but it's worth it to me. You know, the kids want to watch in the living room, whatever, and I want to watch something else in the family room, I can go do that without sacrificing quality or whatever. And that's those are the decisions you have to make. I mean, we don't live in the South, so why do you care what they package?
I'm just saying it's the start of a bad situation. Steve, I got Jason from Turbotville on the line for you.
Hi, Jason. How are you doing today?
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Well, Jason, it's about time, dude. Where you been?
I'm driving right now.
Hey, no, we're just having fun here. Go ahead.
Hey, I got a question real fast, Steve. I heard Nike's pulling out of the wrestling shoe business. So I'm wondering, is Penn State going to, like, the Iowa University situation where the brands has the ASICs and, like, Kale has ASICs as a sponsor?
Well, if Nike's pulling out of the wrestling shoe business,
yeah,
what would that do? I mean, you'd obviously have to make some sort of adjustment. I don't know whether, you know, I mean, Kale, you mentioned, has been with ASICs for a long time.
Right.
And what Penn State used to have years ago, Jason, is they used to have each coach made their own deal. This is a long time ago. So Joe was with Nike. I remember Bruce Parkhill was with New Balance. Rainey Portland was with ASICS. And so on and so forth. That's how it worked. And then what they did was they consolidated everything into a Nike contract. But if Nike is not making a particular brand that you specifically need, then I would think the coach has the option to go out and make their own deal to make it happen because they're not providing a brand that your sport needs.
Right, right.
So I would, you know, so that's a really good point. And I think it does open the door for that coach to say, look, they don't provide that. I need to do something. So I think they need to have the flexibility to do whatever they can to make sure that their team's properly equipped.
Right.
So I think that's the best answer I can give. I mean, you know, you may be able to wear a Nike T-shirt, but
right. I see he's wearing a O'Brien's Lions shirt today.
Oh yeah, yeah, he was wearing an O'Brien's Lions shirt down in Baltimore yesterday. So he's been wearing that. I mean, look, Kale's a cool guy. I mean, you really would like him if you ever met him. He's just really a genuinely likable, no ego, even keeled kind of guy who's really very intelligent, has a great management style, and does not dominate the landscape until it's time to go out and actually win something.
Yeah, he's really laid back. He's a nice, cool guy. I've met him before. Real cool.
Well, yeah, no, he's all of that.
Yep. Well, I'll get off the phone here and listen to you. And, by the way, I found your book at Amazon.
And what's it entitled?
What was the name of it again?
It's like five days of hers inside the romance section.
That's right. I'm sure it's not in the romance section. I guarantee you that.
I think it's in the hate section.
No. I think it's under the disaster movies.
All right,
Jason, it's an absolute pleasure.
All right.
So now, next time you call, you'll be second time caller.
All right.
Our number 1-800-795-9565. So would I have to dedicate a chapter of the book to you?
No, I think I should be able to at least write the introduction or write the foreword to it.
Sure, you can write whatever you want.
And it actually has to go in the printing of it. You can't hold it out of the printing.
Oh, we'll print something for you.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about.
Nobody want to read a book I wrote? Come on. What experience have I had?
You don't need to. I listen to this show. That is the book. And Storytime with Steve proves it.
Oh, yes. We've only scratched the surface on those.
I'm sure.
Next week, by the way, we'll be at the Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament. That'll be next Wednesday. What time is our tee time, by the way?
Morning.
Yes, what time in the morning?
I don't know. I don't have it right on my fingertips. I mean...
Well, for some of us who may have to drive a distance, we would like to build in maybe how much time it takes to get there so we don't walk in when the team's playing the sixth hole.
Actually, I was kind of hoping that would happen. I think we started 7.
Well, yes.
I think we started 7.
After last year, cheering and jeering, like, yeah, he hit in the water, yeah.
I think it's 7:30, I'm not sure. I think we started 8.
It's on the same team. So I'd have to leave here at, what, 6?
Oh, the way you drive, probably 7.
I'm trying to think, what was I going to? I know, last year I did the show... I did the show in the studio. Remember the day I came in and did the show in the studio?
Yes.
Okay. And I was driving in, and I got stopped.
You did tell me this story.
I got stopped. And the officer was incredible. And he says, he looks at me, hi, Steve. Hi. He says, where are you going? I said, I have a show. I'm supposed to be on the air at 3 o'clock. He goes, well, look, he says, just build in a little more time. That way when you're, he says, that way you can, you know, get there on time. But you know, I'm going to let you go because I know you're going to be on the air at 3. I thought, wow. Whew.
I tried that, and the officer said, no, he really doesn't need you on the show, so here's your ticket.
Well, one time I was coming back from New York. My late uncle, they had a 75th birthday party for him 10 years ago. And I went up there, went to the party, drove back. I go over the bridge in Lawrenceville from New York into Pennsylvania. And it's 55 in New York. I mean, like right to the edge of the bridge, it's 55. And the second you cross over into Lawrenceville, I think it drops down to 35. So I cross over the bridge and immediately, boom, start to slow down. And then there's a quick fill on the left-hand side. And I needed, it was late at night. At this point, it's like 1 o'clock in the morning because I stayed till 11. I was up in the Finger Lakes. And I pull in, and all of a sudden, there's these lights behind me. I'm thinking, what's the problem here? And he says, do you know how fast you're going? I said, yeah. I said, I was going 55 to the bridge. The second I go over the bridge, I know it goes down to 35, so I started dropping down right away. He goes, well, I had you at 45. I said, well, I was probably slowing down when I came over the bridge. I said, look, I said, I couldn't be going 55. I pulled in here. And he looks at me, he says, that makes sense. He said, that actually makes sense. I said, well, thanks. He said, by the way, he says, I listen to every game with you and Jack. He said, how's the team going to be this year? I was like, okay. Get out of that one. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back. Great to have you with us here. Tomorrow, Dick Girardi from the Kentucky Derby, former major league pitcher, now talk show host and analyst on the Angels Network, Rob Dibble will join us tomorrow.
Dibs.
We will analyze the Phillies' problems.
We're going to analyze the Phillies' problems and find a good mutter for Saturday's race. Hey, the forecast does not look promising for the Derby.
Oh, come on. You're just so negative. Then which one of these is a good mutter? Nobody would know.
Well, I hope Girardi does.
Well, no, I mean, really, these horses haven't run in the mud.
If there's any information out there, Girardi will have it.
I'm just telling you, nobody's run in the mud. Not one of them has. So how do you know?
Right now, the forecast is a 40% chance of showers increasing to 60 by the time it's run around 6:24 p.m.
You're such a downer.
Hey, the Kentucky Oaks is the one that everybody forgets about.
Gamblers don't.
That's true. I've made one or two bucks on the Oaks.
Do they know?
They paid it out.
Wow.